BlogTalkRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Final Raw post show of 2013, which means it was the final edition of Monday Night Raw for 2013, and we are live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by PW Mania, MemLamePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Holy crap!
You start the show, you end the show, and then you had a middle. Yeah.
Can we just talk about the start, the middle, and the end, and just leave all the other crap out?
The other crap will get through really fast, I promise.
Okay.
Okay? Because there's a lot to get into. And the show tonight opened up with the man's music we just played, CM Punk. CM Punk came out and basically told the crowd, you know, he had some good and some bad stuff happen to him in 2013. He even came to work sometimes with a smile and, well, sometimes he didn't have a smile, but the real issue is that he is the longest reigning WWE champion in the last 25 years. And in this past year, he went one on one with the Great One and even did the eyebrow, which was kind of funny.
Which was hilarious.
And then went toe to toe, get your shot glass ready, with The Undertaker.
Where he lost, and then he took his ball and went home.
Shh, Don't mention that.
Oh, that didn't happen?
That didn't happen. No one remembers that. And then he also, you know, he lost some friends along the way, including beating up a former friend to within an inch of his life. But Punk said, you know, he doesn't think 2013 was his year. He, you know, fans thought so, but he said there was a team, a group of people that had a dominating 2013, and that was the Shield. They believe it was their year. And, well, Punk wants to end 2013 on a good note because he sure as hell knows he will find a way to get, you know, cross paths with the Shield tonight on Raw.
Finish your thought, Punk. Finish your thought. What were you going to say? What's your big challenge? It better be a good one. You better give us a good reason not to end 2013 by ending you right now.
Cool down. Look,
the three of you can beat any one man. I think we've established that in the past 365 days. And I'm not taking away anything from any of you as a unit. But when I said iron sharpens iron, I live to be the best. And I want to fight the best one-on-one. So I want to know who it's going to be, because out of one of you, out of the three of you, excuse me, one of you is the best.
Oh, you want to do this again? You want to do it again? Let's do it right now. And this time, I promise, I'm not leaving this ring without taking a piece of you with me. Let's do this right now.
Hang on. Dean, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I've already beaten you like half a dozen times.
Burn.
And what I'm saying is, it wasn't easy, but I did it.
You think that's funny?
No, I don't think
that's
funny.
You think
it's
a joke? You think I'm a joke? You think you can talk to me like that?
I don't think you're a joke, Dean Ambrose. I just think you're the weak link, and I want to find out who the strong one of the Shield is. Everybody says Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Is it you? Are you number one in the Shield? Are you the man? Let's find out right here, right now.
You want to know who the best is?
Yeah.
You're looking at him. I'll fight you tonight. I'll fight you tonight. Let's do it.
It's you? Because all I ever hear anybody talk about is Roman Reigns.
You don't think I can take him?
It ain't that. You're falling for his
danger. That's not it. I didn't mean it like that.
There ain't no
way. I'm just saying,
you
know I'm taking it tonight.
I'm the man.
Your champion time, let me take it tonight, alright? I want this. No bones on you, my friend.
It don't come out talking
I can beat him. He calls himself the best in the world. I'm better than him. And I want to prove it tonight.
You gonna step up and take him out?
Absolutely.
Brad Max eventually came out and made the match Punk versus Rollins, and that'll be coming up in just a minute. Just let's talk about CM Punk and him stirring that pot up.
Oh, this was tremendous. This was a wonderful way to start Raw. Absolutely wonderful. We see that, well, the boys aren't able to put their egos aside quite like they used to be.
No, they're all really, really cocky, and they all have an ego, especially Dean Ambrose, who really, really got called the weak link by CM Punk.
And he didn't like that, not one bit.
No, he didn't. Roman was sassy. As well.
Roman was sassy, Seth was sassy. One thing I loved is you can tell that their work with Roman Reigns is working, because we got a Roman Reigns chant.
Yeah, we did.
So, the people wanted the big man, and once again, well, let's just get into the match, because once again, it proved that you just gotta let Roman get things done.
So we had CM Punk take on Seth Rollins in a really, really good match. It got a lot of time, and it was tremendous. You had the Shield try to get involved at one point. Ambrose tried getting involved. It allowed Rollins to escape the GTS. And then Rollins had Punk down, but the referee was sort of distracted by Ambrose. And, well, he had Roman trying to pull Ambrose away. Yeah. This was really, really good. Somehow, Punk was able to survive, hit the GTS after countering Seth Rollins as he sprung off the top rope. You know, springboarded off the top. Into the GTS for the victory. Really good match. That Shield. Shield, them egos.
Yeah, them egos, man. They're getting in the way.
Yeah.
You can tell. They're getting in the way. But yeah, this was a... When Seth stepped up, it's like, this is gonna be good. Punk versus Sethy. If you don't know the history between these two, look it up. Because, yeah, it's like this, it's just like the history between Punk and Dean. match. Like, this will be good. And, oh my goodness, this is a fantastic way to start the show. Really kind of gave me high hopes for the rest of the show. Because it's like, you know, if this is the opener, this is going to be good. And then, well, things got more interesting from there, didn't they?
Yes, it is. I mentioned CM Punk got the victory. We then went backstage into the general manager's office. And before we even get to anything that happened in that segment, Kane's mask is sitting in a glass case.
It's a little creepy.
A little bit. Not gonna lie. A little bit creepy. So in case of emergency, break the glass and he, you know, puts the mask back on?
I guess. Well, you know, they wanted to make sure that Kane had a presence there because, well, Kane took a personal day, so...
Yes, he did. He took a personal day. Along with John Cena, Randy Orton, and Alberto Del Rio, and a bunch of others.
This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you book a house show in Toronto on the same night as WWE Raw. Just pointing that out. That's where everybody else was.
Yeah, one of the options on the WWE app, I now have the WWE app because I have a fancy new technology thing. One of the options for him was, you know, would he shop for suits? Clean out the boiler room. A marathon viewing of Downton Abbey.
Dude, if Kane is into Downton Abbey, he and I need to talk.
Right.
Christmas special, rock on, we can watch it together.
There you go. So we have Brad Maddox back in the general manager's office, and he was hyping up the IC title match later on tonight. Triple H and Steph walked in. Brad noted that Kane is not here tonight. Brad thinks he should take a step forward, and, well, in came Daniel Bryan. Bryan demanded a match with Bray Wyatt right here tonight. But Brad was not going to let that happen. Brad was, you know, forceful. He was showing his authority. And said Daniel Bryan has to earn it by taking on Luke Harper one-on-one. If he wins that, he faces Eric Rowan. And if he beats Eric, then he gets Bray Wyatt. Stephanie was impressed.
And Bryan just said okay.
Bryan was cool with it. He accepted the terms. Steph was impressed, and then she said, watch what I do, as she announces the main event for the Royal Rumble next. I like forceful Brad.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I'm not going to lie. It's something different.
He was, you know, he showed authority. And he wasn't the bumbling fool. He was authoritative, rather.
Well done. But yeah, it's like, you've got to earn it. Okay.
And boy, did he earn it tonight. Which we'll get into here in a little bit. Stephanie McMahon came out to make her announcement. She reflected back on 2013, said she wouldn't change anything because they, you know, the authorities done everything right. Stephanie asked that they celebrate the career of the champion of champions, the world heavyweight champion Randy Orton. We have a nice video package on Randy Orton, and then Back Lives. Stephanie said, Orton is a fighting champion, so at the Royal Rumble, Randy Orton will defend the WWE World Heavyweight title in a traditional championship match with no stipulations, no interference, and no excuses. Pinfall or submission only against John Cena.
I like that they had to qualify... The fact that this is going to be a traditional championship, no stip, no nothing, just, you know, one pinfall for a victory. You know, it's going to prove who is the better man. Like, I like how she had to qualify that.
Right.
Actually laughed.
I like the term traditional title match.
Right?
Hey. They're setting up, it's going to be a straight-up match. Which, you know, means shenanigans will be abound at some point, probably.
Oh, I'm sure. I have little doubt that will happen.
So, we had a hype video for the return of Dave Bautista on January 20th. Tiffany came back, you know, she was shown backstage walking, asking how she did. Hunter said they finally going to know who the real champion is at the Royal Rumble. Hunter said that, well, that was a pretty big announcement, but he has something to announce that will be as big later in the show. A blockbuster announcement.
I wonder what it could be.
Up next, Dolph Ziggler, Curtis Axel.
A solid contest.
Yes, solid contest. Ziggler wins with the zigzag out of nowhere. Ziggler got back on a roll, ends the year with a victory. That was a theme tonight. End of the year, get a win on in the final, you know, one of the final shows of the year.
Yeah, I will say this, that Ziggler and Axel both cut really nice promos before the match.
They had nice little inset promos before the match, yes, I'd agree. As we came back from break, you heard the plug for next week's edition of Monday Night Raw. As Monday Night Raw goes old school, which you heard, woo, to start it, and saw pictures of people like Ric Flair, Bob Backlund, DDP, Booker T, Mean Gene Okerlund, the New Age Outlaws, IRS, and the Million Dollar Man.
The interesting point of we need to see a Bray Wyatt and IRS cameo.
Yeah.
This needs to happen.
It does. It does. It really
Even if they just walk by each other, just the reference, because they keep referencing IRS, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what the connection between Bray Wyatt and IRS is, Google it.
Exactly. Up next, Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Big E Langston and Fandango.
This is actually a really good match.
They gave him time. It was a pretty good match. Big E won with the big ending. Nice stuff. Really good match. They actually allow, and that's what matters, especially on a show like this, limited crew, long matches, good stuff.
Right.
So Big E Langston won, and they made sure to put over Fandango as well.
Yes.
Throughout the night, we had videos hyping up Brian versus the Wyatts later in the program. One of them made Lindsay giggle.
The very last one made me giggle, yes.
Because it always does.
I can't help it.
Booker T came out for the New Year's spin-a-rooney. Out came Wade Barrett on a now raised platform. Came out of nowhere, and you know, he did his bad news Barrett gimmick because he's basically said that he has some bad news for people because 2014 is going to suddenly bring the end of the government corruption or natural disasters. It will bring them one step closer to the apocalypse, though. Barrett said all the wrestlers and divas will stab each other in the back in pursuit of money, and the people will poison the environment, then ask for a handout when they screw it up. And everyone will follow trends rather than acknowledge poverty, death, and destruction that surrounds them. Barrett said he will be here in 2014 to remind everyone of their screw-ups. Happy New Year.
Okay, one, this was a strong promo by Wade.
Yes.
I have no problem with the promo. My issue with this is, if you are familiar with Bad News Barrett, at least how it started on the JBL and Cole show, what got it over was just the randomness that was Bad News Barrett on the JBL Cole show. Like, literally, he just walked up to people and said, I've got some bad news. And then he did the line, and then he walks off, and the person goes, Bad News Barrett. Like, that's the whole shtick right there. And they're killing the shtick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're going to do Bad News Barrett, do News Barrett. Have him walk around back. Have him walk out during matches. Don't give him a podium. Don't give him a gavel. Don't give him a scissor lift. And just have him walk around and do what he was doing on the JBL and Cole show, because that's what made it work. Like, him standing at a podium giving a long diatribe, and granted, it was a good promo for him, it's not what the gimmick is, and it's not really doing anything to get him over. Mm-mm. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you've got to give him the quick one-liners, because that's the whole point, because it's just like, you know, that there's that overhang of, oh my god, Wade Barrett could give me bad news, like, all night. Which, I know this is this, but it's like, if you're going to it, if you're going to steal the gimmick, do it right. That's all I ask.
Here's the thought. As you were talking, this came to mind. He would be the perfect bad news authority figure. Really quick.
He would be.
One lines. I've got some bad news for you, and this is what the bad news is. Your match or something, you know. Whatever. That would work. Anyway, that's a thought. Renee Young was talking to Damian Sandow, and there's a vote on the app. You can choose between the Great Khali, The Miz, and Kofi Kingston. You know, Sandow basically said he's been disrespected all year. Tonight he doesn't care whose opponents. If he can't beat his opponent tonight, then he will quit.
Somebody's fed up.
Somebody is fed up. As we came back from break, WWE plugged Philadelphia Eagles LaShawn McCooley holding a world title belt to celebrate his NFL title last night. WWE title. John Cena and The Rock both offered to get him a belt. So did CM Punk. But that one wasn't mentioned. JBL was no longer happy about football because...
Hey, the Cowboys did a valiant effort last night.
But did they win?
No, tragically, they came up short.
Hey. Hey, I'm just reading the recap, Kinkins. Just saying. Damian Sandow takes on the winner of the WWE app vote with 39% of the vote, The Great Khali. That was an interesting match. It was better than I thought it would be.
It was more entertaining than I thought it would be. My issue is, oh my god, those chops. Ow!
Yeah. That one. Ooh. Hurt. Sandow put him into the corner, head hit turnbuckle, went for a roll up, got the three count, even up. Oops.
I guess this leads to a
few? Maybe? God. So Damian Sandow keeps his job. Up next, Brodus Clay versus R-Truth.
I'm not going to lie, and I feel really bad saying this. I didn't pay attention.
Xavier Woods was on the microphone yapping on commentary. They finished, saw the Funkadactyls come out, distract them, and R-Truth hit a nice hit his finish from the top, the middle rope victory. That was an JBL basically pointed out everything. Brodus Clay's ladies were stolen. His music was stolen. He lost everything, even his gimmick. He lost it all to Xavier Woods and the Funkadactyls. Poor Brodus Clay. He's such a main event player.
I know, it must be tough in the main event.
It must. It must be the main tough being the main event of WWE Superstars. Must be. Up next, we have the one, the only, the game, Triple H, come out for his big blockbuster announcement. And, well, you know, he talked about, you know, he does what's best for business. Hunter said 2014 will be unlike anything seen before, so with that in mind, he's welcoming a man back to World Wrestling Entertainment. He Brock Lesnar. So, Brock and Paul Heyman came out to the ring. Hunter shook hands with Heyman, and then he shook hands with Brock Lesnar, and before Brock shook Hunter's hand, Heyman went, "He's the one who signs paychecks." And then Lesnar shook the hand. I thought that was a nice touch by Heyman.
Yeah, it's like, play nice, Brock. Play nice.
He's the one who's paying you right now. So, Paul Heyman decided to talk.
In this age of transparency, my client has authorized me to inform you of his mission statement here in WWE. My client, Brock Lesnar, is not here to settle old scores. Brock has no old scores. You fight Brock Lesnar. You to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar forgets about you. Nor is Brock Lesnar here as an instrument of revenge to do harm to those that did wrong to me, Paul Heyman. I have a forgiving heart. I put those beatings in my past because I'm a bigger man than any one of you. And besides, this isn't about me. This is about my client, Brock Lesnar. So here it is. Why is Brock Lesnar back in WWE? Here's what's best for business. My client, Brock Lesnar, hereby declares his desire to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And what that means for John Cena and Randy Orton is that whomever emerges from their at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view as the World Heavyweight Champion, the winner, the loser, because the champion will then have to face the challenge of the self-declared number one contender, Brock Lesnar. What Brock Lesnar wants, Brock Lesnar takes. And what's for the taking is the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and it will be taken by the man who will challenge the winner between John Cena and Randy Orton, and that man is the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar!
Wait a minute.
Basically, you know, Brock Lesnar, what they cut out of it, Lesnar dared, you know, he spoke that he doesn't care whether it's Cena or Orton, as he is has concern no one in this building or in this company can stop him, and he's basically declaring himself the self-declared number one contender. He doesn't have to be in a Rumble match to be deserving enough to for a title match, and he won't stand in a mysterious line for a title shot. And he declares that the line starts behind him. So he wanted someone to calm down and challenge him. And that's where Mark Henry came into play. Before we get to Henry, promo. Reaction.
Oh, it was fantastic. It's Paul Heyman. It's like, you know, Paul, it's like, yeah, actually I was excited to see Brock because the show up until this point had been good, but after the main event, or I'm sorry, after the opening, it was a little lacking. I'm not going to lie. It was a little slow. So it was like, this was a nice change of pace. This made things pick up a little bit. And it's like, yay, Paul Heyman's back on my TV. I'm always happy to see Paul Heyman. And, you know, it's just like, you just sit there and you watch Paul Heyman say Brock Lesnar over and over and over again. And it's amusing every time he says it.
It is. It is. Because he has such glee when he says it, too.
He does. It's like, how many times and, you know, how many different ways can I just, you know, gutturally say Brock Lesnar in one promo? And I think Heyman hit just about the max. Mm-hmm. But this was well done. This was a nice setup for Lesnar-Henry. I'm not going to lie. When I heard about it last night, I was like, ooh, this is not going to be good.
And then...
And then the beatdown happened.
So these two big monsters went at it. They brawled on the floor. They brawled into the crowd. Lesnar speared Henry through the barricade. And then, Lesnar reaches down deep, gets the world's strongest man up on his shoulders, puts out a big, huge, mammoth scream, and hits an F5, laying out Mark Henry.
Yeah, Brock, don't scream. Honey, just don't. Don't do it.
But you heard the man scream.
He screams like a woman.
Well, that's what happened. But that was a slobber knocker brawl between the two.
You know, honestly, that is the best use of Brock Lesnar, because every time they bring him back, that's what he does. Exactly. He just beats somebody up to start the feud. And for whatever reason, every time he does it, it works.
Right? It works every single time.
It's like, it's so effective. It's not funny. And it's because every time Brock does it, Brock does it in spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I typed in our chat, like Rock and I's chat, it's, "Hey Ryback, take notes. That's how you do that."
Take a listen to this.
Look at that. Look at Lesnar. Lesnar with Mark Henry up on his shoulders. You gotta be kidding me. That's 400 plus pounds.
No, not on the
floor. No, no, no. Find the Henry. Find the Henry. On the floor.
No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more.
That scream right there.
Ow, my ears are bleeding now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
But no, this... And I like how they were making a big deal about Brock picking up Mark Henry. Like, he was nothing. Because literally, that's what he did. He just picked up Mark Henry like he weighed nothing.
Man, 425 pounds at least. If not more. And he just... With ease. To say this... 11 years ago, Brock did the same thing. But Henry was a little smaller then. Brock was not as powerful then. It's still goddamn impressive.
When you have guys like Ryback, who have pretty much the same gimmick as Brock, who can't even get Henry up for the shell shock properly, and then you have Brock Lesnar hoist Mark Henry, who is well over 400 pounds, on their shoulders with the greatest of ease and F5 them, and also do what he did with Henry, which, again, Henry is no small man, but he's also not, you know, completely useless. I'm sure Henry helped out quite a bit in that. To make it look as good as it did, it was still... That was very, very well done. Very impressive. A nice... set up to the feud. And it's like, huh, this just got interesting.
The question is there a feud, or is this just Brock Lesnar making a statement?
Well, here's the thing. The ovaries started glowing in this segment. But I'm not sure if that was for what happened later in the show, or if that's in relation to a certain dead man coming back.
I mean,
yes, because I'm calling my shot, y'all. After Rumble, we're gonna hear that gong, and he's gonna be back. He's coming.
Bruised ribs as a result of the beatdown from Brock Lesnar. Was the injury update on from WWE on WWE.com. Alright, moving right along, he says, Bella Twins, Eva Marie, Naomi and Cameron take on Caitlyn, Summer Rae, Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendez, and Oksana in a 10 Divas tag team battle.
Never, ever, 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 effing ever send Natty, AJ, and Tamina away at the same time on the same night again. Ever. Do you hear me, WWE? Please don't ever do that. I applaud the girls. They tried. They tried so very hard. They kind of failed.
In Toronto, AJ killed Frosty. There's a Frosty is Snowman thing, and she kicked it.
I'm so proud.
They try. Oksana won.
Lily, if you get to see Taker, get pictures.
The girl wants pictures. Better deliver if he's around. Just saying.
Pictures, video, you can throw him in a box and ship him to Utah.
He's very accustomed to sleeping in boxes, so he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Just punch your holes in it.
Yeah, just put a little hole in the top. It'll be cool. Not big enough for him to get through, just a little small breathing hole. as I mentioned, Oksana won. There was one spot where, was it Alicia Fox, like, dropped Cameron right on her face?
Yeah. That wasn't remotely cool.
So, yeah, there's that. Backstage, General Manager Brett Maddox said he has handled the referee situation earlier with the Great Khali, shoulders clearly on down against Steven Sandow. Brett then announced the all-time favorites coming for Raw next week, Raw Old School. And without saying it, woo, he's coming next week on Monday at Raw. And Hunter told him never, ever do it again. So what does he do? Woo, again.
You have to do it at least 3 times.
Woo!
And you're done.
And I'm spent. Alright. I'm spent. This is where you get spent.
Jesus Christ.
Main event time. Daniel Bryan's out. They're here, everybody. Our first contest. Daniel Bryan and Luke Harper. Holy Christ. They beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, they did, and it was absolutely fantastic to watch.
Luke Harper and Daniel Bryan had match of the night, ladies and gentlemen. He beat on Bryan for, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan kept having these little bursts of energy, but every time, boom, 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 he kept getting knocked down. You had Bray Wyatt yelling at Harper, "Don't believe it's not real. You can get over it. You can, you know, take the punishment from Daniel Bryan." Every time he would kick him and stuff. You had a nice top rope powerbomb from Luke Harper to Daniel Bryan. Harper looked for instructions from Bray, and then he went to, you know, do another overhead suplex, and then Bryan landed on his feet and then hit the running knee. Boom! Right in the face.
Right?
Laid him out. There was a nice counter of the Yes Lock, too. I think they said he bit him as well.
Yeah, Harper broke the lock, and they weren't sure if Harper bit him or not. I'm going to have to watch it when it comes on the replay and see if Harper did, in fact, do that. But, yeah, like, Harper just broke the lock. Just broke the Yes Lock. Before, like, it was nothing.
Yeah, before Daniel Bryan could really get it in, he broke it. Bryan, though, was able to hit the running knee right to the face and picked up the win, so step one is complete.
So he got through Harper. Now he's got to take on Rowan.
He takes on Eric Rowan, and God, all right.
God love Eric Rowan. He just beat the tar out of Daniel Bryan.
All right, before he started to beat him up, he took him out of the ring and just chucked him over the announce table. Nothing. Like, nothing. He just chucked him. Then on the app, he manhandled him and threw him into the ring. It was incredible. The man's strength is incredible. We then had the match, and he just beat on him. We had a nice fall-away slam from the second rope. Daniel Bryan held onto his knee. He was hurting. Rowan took his sweet time to go after Daniel Bryan, and then, boom, small package. 1, 2, 3. Daniel Bryan pins Eric Rowan.
But, well, Bray Wyatt wasn't quite ready to get in the ring.
No.
And
no.
Harper and Rowan, well, they had a little bit of steam left in them.
Mm-hmm. They beat down Daniel Bryan just a little bit more. Then they looked over. Then they looked over at Bray Wyatt, and then he was like, "We should mention during the first match, you had Bray Wyatt biting his fingernails, chomping at the bit. Patience was, you know, he was he was nervous and all that fun stuff."
Didn't he flopped back at one point in the chair, and Eric checked on him. It was adorable.
So then, Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt were about to happen. Bray Wyatt waiting for Daniel Bryan to get to his feet. He ducked his head back. Waiting. Daniel Bryan, he's ready. He's ready to bring it on. You have Bray Wyatt charge in and stops. And then turns his back on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan took a minute, came out of the corner, and Harper and Rowan charged and attacked, causing a disqualification. They beat down Daniel Bryan.
God, did they ever.
They laid the man down and out. And then it happened.
This is where our story ends. I have no mercy left to give. It could have been different. It could have been better. It could have been perfect. And this is your fault. I'm going to punish you. I want you to open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at your dismay. Open your eyes, Brian. This is the end.
You're right.
Say it again. Say that again.
You're right.
You're right. You were always right. I'm yours. Let me join the family.
Bryan was on his knees, holding out his arms. Bray Wyatt picks him up, and Sister Abigail lays him out.
This is forever. This is going to change everything.
Bray Wyatt now has the boys picking him up and dragging him out of the ring. This is good, good stuff. So you have the boys carrying Daniel Bryan on, you know, his arms on their shoulders. He can barely get his arms around both men because they're huge, which is hilarious.
Yeah, you get a good judgment of their size in comparison to Daniel Bryan here.
Yeah.
You really do.
And then the boys let him stand on his own. And he's just standing there. You have Bray Wyatt on the top of the ramp, and he's just, you know, takes his time, takes steps slowly towards Bray Wyatt. It's like he's taking his first steps as a new child.
Yep.
His first baby steps live on national television. And it's just, you see this, you have a stunned crowd, they're not sure how to react. And then the music ends up stopping as they stop on the ramp here in a moment. And the crowd doesn't want this to happen. Brian finally realizes it's time to join. And he just slowly walks towards Bray as the show closes and goes off the air.
And then the internet exploded.
They were exploding as it was happening.
Oh, I know it was exploding as it was happening, but then it just completely exploded after the show went off the air, because I don't know if anybody else was waiting for it, but I kept waiting for a swerve.
You were waiting. Like, I was waiting. It was like, it's going to happen. He's going to think twice. And no, he didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because it's like when Daniel Bryan was reaching for Bray, it's like, don't do it, Bray. It's a trap. He's trying to lead you into a false sense of security. You know, don't do it. And it's like, no, this is actually going to happen. And it's like, okay, they're dragging Bryan up the ramp. Because it's like the way they set it up at the end was, it's like they're dragging Bryan up the ramp. They've got him standing there. He's looking at Bray. The other two are behind Bryan. And Bray's all is on his own. So it would be really, really, really easy for Bryan to actually get to Bray.
There were moments when that could have happened. Moments. But it didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. It didn't happen. So the question is Daniel Bryan going to actually become a full-fledged Wyatt? Or is this just an elaborate ruse to get to Bray Wyatt?
And we will get that answer at some point. Alright. There were a couple things. Negatives about tonight's show. It was lacking the stars.
Mm-hmm.
The positive, this angle. If the stars were there, this couldn't have happened the way it did. And because of that, they told a fantastic story. And the best part is, they didn't let the slammy reaction affect what they're doing. They're sticking to the plan.
Yeah, this show was a little lacking in between the big moments, you know, which basically was the opening match, the Brock Lesnar segment, and then this, the ending of the show. The show was lacking a little bit on the rest, because you could tell that they were hurting for people because they had a limited number of people there because the rest of the crew and the roster were in Toronto doing a house show. So you could tell they were hurting because it's like you had pretty much, I think, everybody get on the show at least twice. Mm-hmm. I think the only person that didn't was Booker T.
No, he only had one segment, thankfully.
Same with
Barrett and Alanoff, but yeah.
But I like how they let the younger stars shine tonight. And I love that they saved the Brian angle for the end of the show, where you close 2013 with Daniel Bryan leaving with the Wyatts. That's insane. You know, after 2 months where they have done nothing but just beat him down and beat him down and beat him down, Bray Wyatt got a very belated Christmas gift tonight. Courtesy of Daniel Bryan.
But they told a fantastic story, the two of them. Daniel, as good as Bray Wyatt was, Daniel Bryan was tremendous as well.
Oh, the chemistry between those two is insane.
There's going to come a point where this all explodes.
Because now here's the question, what is this going to do to the dynamic of the Wyatt family? You know, is Daniel Bryan trying to destroy them from the inside? You know, or is this a heel turn for Daniel Bryan? Is this a face turn for the Wyatts? Where does this basically go from here? That, you know, these are all questions that I've been, you know, seeing online as far as Twitter and Tumblr are concerned that people are asking us, like, what happens? It's like they've just sparked a million questions and they could go in multiple directions with this. If you really think about it. But I think the biggest question, and this is just me personally, but what's Brie Bella's reaction to this? Like, Brie, what is Brie going to do? Because her fiancé just joined a bunch of bearded psychos.
Yeah, I was looking for a reaction from it, and there wasn't anything on Twitter, so she's Twitter silent at the moment.
I mean, does that mean Brie goes with Bryan? Does that mean... I mean, what is that going to do to that relationship, at least the on-camera dynamic? I don't know. It's like a whole bunch of questions are being raised because of this, and I love that. They did a wonderful job of setting this up and telling the story and getting you interested in it, because it's like... The second Daniel Bryan said, I'm yours, everybody just stopped what they were doing and turned and looked at whatever device they were watching this show on and were like, what?
What happened now? What?
Wait, what did he say?
Uh-huh. And yeah, it happened.
And I loved how Bray made him say it two or three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bray made him... Bray got himself over. Now, I'm reading our chat room, and people are, you know, they're questioning what are they going to do with Daniel Bryan? Is this a good move for Daniel Bryan? Is this a bad move for Daniel Bryan? It's not all about the championship, and the championship will come for Daniel Bryan at some point. We're headed to Mania. He's not getting the title at Mania. But he will have a big presence on the show.
Basically, they're setting up potentially a force to go against the Authority. That's what they've done, is now with Daniel Bryan joining with the Wyatt family... And we've seen really how unstoppable the Wyatts can be. It's like wins and losses for them don't necessarily matter. It's the size of the beatdown they put on you.
It's the end result.
Which is they leave people laying. And so it's something of you're now creating a force within the WWE to counter the Authority, to counter the Shield.
The Wyatts are not a babyface, Lance. No, they're not babyfaces.
No, they're not.
They will never be babyfaces. There's no way they can be faces. But what they're doing they're using Daniel Bryan to elevate Bray Wyatt. And what the company needs now is that ruthless heel, and that's what they're creating in Bray.
Yeah, it's... We've just seen them really, like you said, mercilessly beat down Daniel Bryan week after week after week for 2 months. That's what we've seen. Is Bray Wyatt and his boys just taking Daniel Bryan down and just going after him relentlessly until literally, think about it, tonight Bray Wyatt broke Daniel Bryan. They did something that the Authority couldn't do. They broke Daniel Bryan. Think about that.
Yeah, they did. There are many questions, many, many questions, and no answers. Because
not
yet. There's no answers yet. And that's what makes Raw next week.
Yes. So we're going to... The post-show should be interesting next week because I have high hopes now for Raw because I have a funny feeling it's going to be centered around what happened with Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts and what's going on.
And because it will be old school. Should be fun. Legends, Wyatt, the stars return next week on Monday Night Raw. I'd say that does it for us tonight.
I would say so too.
You've been listening to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Join us Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay, for The Rack.
That's right. We're back after our holiday break. I hope everybody enjoyed the Christmas episode. If you haven't listened to it, you still can. It's available on wildtalkradio.com along with all the other fine shows we have done over the year of 2013. Unfortunately, the Christmas show is our last show of 2013 as we will start the year fresh on Thursday, the 2nd of January, so we get to kick off 2014, hopefully in style. We've got news, we've got notes, we've got Impact, we're going to have discussions, probably about the Wyatts.
And we will also look back at 2013.
Because, oh my god, what a year 2013 was for us.
So we will give a spin, our spin on 2013 as well, so tune into The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, this Thursday night. Check out rockradioshow.com, prowrestlingtees.com, /rockradioshow. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. And CB Radio is throwing a party in a way. It's Ace's birthday, so somebody's going to be drinking. And when we get people drinking, you never know what happens. So tune in at CB Radio live, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And then Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday Night Live at 10 p.m. Eastern with Mason Omega and Spug, along with myself, as we recap the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, and I love how it's the cover story on WWE.com. Genius. Sorry. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On psychwarddesigns.com, there's a contact us section. Under that section is the link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy it, it is available for sale on redbubble.com. Just click the link on my website and you can go check out what I have available for sale. It's not much, but I think it's some of the better pieces that I've done. At least I think that. You can also check out CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. And, of course, you can check out my Behance profile, Behance.net/LinsWard, LinsWARD, if you want to see a larger selection of my artwork. And, of course, listen to The Rack and all the other fine programming right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Oh, Saturday could be interesting, King Kittens.
By the way, go Cards.
Go Cards? Oh, Bowl of Games, yes. Alright, so for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rockin'. We'll see you next Monday night. We'll see you Thursday night. We'll see you all week long. And have a happy new year along the airwaves right here on WildTalkRadio.com.